Today, I'll be reading from Psalm 119, verses 33 to 40. So if you've got your Bibles or devices with you, I'd encourage you to open them now. Psalm 119, starting at verse 33. Teach me, Lord, the ways of your decrees, that I may follow it to the end. Give me understanding so that I may keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. Turn my heart towards your statutes and not towards selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. Fulfill your promise to your servant so that you may be feared. Take away the disgrace I dread, for your laws are good. How I long for your precepts. In your righteousness, preserve my life.
Thanks, Evan and team, for leading us in worship and praise and prayer and just the reading of God's word this morning. One more thing before we dive into God's word today. Achievers, if you are here, if you want some information about this year and what this year might hold, would you please go and see Nancy after the service? She's got some information for you. And so please make sure you do that if you are an achiever and here. You know who you are. Some are in the Psalms. We're going to be talking about the Psalms. And this morning, I want to do something a little bit different. I'm going to talk to you, not specifically from the Psalms in this passage, about a number of things specifically about God's word, because the whole of Psalm 119, which is enormous, the biggest psalm, the longest chapter in all of Scripture, talks so much about the importance of God's word, how awesome it is, how we delight in it, and that we are to hear it and obey it, and that by doing so, it brings life to us as followers of Jesus. And so you're going to go into that at the end. But first, I want to talk about why this is so important. And really, you might remember start of Christmas time, December 5, I think it was, I spoke to you about how much we love food, right? And that Christmas time very much represents feasting and enjoying of food, that Jesus is ultimately the bread of heaven, that he came down, that he satisfies in ways that food doesn't. And I talked about how much we love it, I love food, but I don't know about you, I'm guessing that if you gorged yourself on food over the Christmas and New Year period, then there's a bit of a cost that comes with that, right? Especially when the food we are enjoying isn't the healthiest option. And so I don't know about you, but I started to notice a few things in the days following eating all of this food, like gingerbread houses, like lollies, like chocolate, like honey glazed ham and pork crackle and that delicious oak eggnog. Like, that is the best eggnog I've ever been able to find. It is so good, but so immensely fatty, right? It's just horrendous for you. But it's delicious, right? And as a result, I became lethargic. I felt gross. I got tired. I lacked energy, and my sleep even suffered. I don't know about you, but maybe that happens to you when you eat too much of something that is not that good for you. And it's funny, right, how the things that we put into our bodies impact us so much. It actually has an effect on us to such an extent that it affects our mood, it affects our patience level, it affects us mentally and emotionally. It can make us short and frustrated with people. It makes us snappy. You know, as someone has rightly said, we are what we eat. We are what we eat. Either we put healthy stuff into our bodies and we feel the benefits of that, or we put junk into our bodies and then we suffer the consequences of that, right? And the same is ultimately true with our spiritual lives. The same is true with our spiritual lives. Right? In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 to 3, Moses writes this. He says, "Be careful to follow every command I give you so that you may live and increase." So he's saying, be careful to follow the word of God so that it's going to lead to fruitfulness, essentially, so that you're going to live and increase and go on and enter into the land that I've promised on oath to your ancestors. So there's fruitfulness, both in terms of their own lives and in terms of where God's taking them into a land of plenty. And he goes on and he says, remember how the Lord led you all the way through the wilderness these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart and whether or not you would keep his commands. Right? He's basically saying following God's word is life-giving. Following God's word is wise and it's good for you. And so we need to be careful to walk with him and to follow his word, because if we don't, it's going to lead to the opposite of that. It's going to lead to destructive things, ultimately death. Right? And it continues on and it says, he says this because he is trying to teach you that man, as in humankind, does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Mankind does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. His word is our daily bread. It's our food. It's food for our soul, and it sustains us and it strengthens us and it edifies us and it builds us up in such a way that it completely transforms our lives by the power of the Spirit of God, and he makes us fruitful as the Spirit takes it and then applies it to our lives so that we walk in it and increasingly become like Jesus. Right? This is what the passage essentially goes on to say, that as we observe the commands of God and walk in them, that then he brings us into a good land. It says, a land flowing with brooks and streams and lush valleys and hills, with wheat and barley and figs and pomegranates and olives. He's describing the promised land that the Israelites were to go into. And as he led the nation of Israel into a land of fruitful abundance, when they followed him and obeyed his word, then in the same way, he makes us fruitful and increase as we walk in the word of God and we follow it by faith. Like, he completely transforms our lives from the inside out as the word of God takes root in us and then does a deep work in and through us. And so my question for us as we go into this year really is, as a local body of Jesus at Enfield, right, as his body that is joined and knit together, that is interdependent on one another, the local expression here, how will we, as in you and those around you, how will we posture ourselves for spiritual transformation in 2022? Because God wants to do a deep work in us. He doesn't want you to be the same as you were in 2021. He actually wants you to continue to grow and change and become more and more Christ-like, which is a pruning and refining process. And so how will you posture yourself this year to foster a deeper love and desire for Jesus than you had last year? And how will you do that so that together we might become more like him in 2022 as we follow him together? Because transformation into the image of Jesus doesn't happen without intentionally posturing and positioning ourselves. Right? It doesn't. And this is true in just about every other area of life. Right, we don't get good at playing an instrument without being diligent to put time aside to practice. It requires discipline. We don't get all jacked and buffed like Muscular Tim over here, right, without discipline, without saying yes to the painful burn of lifting weights and without saying no to other things that's going to hinder that. And so as we follow Jesus, right, we need grace to be disciplined, to make room, so that we make room for him in our lives, so that he actually comes first. So that he comes first, so that we grow and become strengthened, and our faith builds this, we build this incredible faith muscle, so that we depend more on him, we trust him more. When times of uncertainty and pandemic and all sorts of other things are upon us, this is when, more than anything, we need to know the word of God and hear it, when there is so many other voices of negativity all around us. You know, author Ruth Haley Barton says this about spiritual disciplines. She says, oops, sorry, I probably had it. Oh, no. There you go. Spiritual transformation is about choosing a way of life that opens us up to the presence of God in the places of our being where our truest desires and deepest longings stir. I love that. It's about choosing a way of life that opens us up to the presence of God. These discoveries are available to all of us as we become more honest in naming what isn't working, so that we can craft a way of life that is more congruent with our deepest desires. You know, Dallas Willard also says they do not earn merit about spiritual disciplines. They do not earn merit, but they do allow us to receive from God what will not be passively bestowed. So it's about positioning ourselves, putting ourselves in a position, posturing ourselves so that we might grow in Jesus. They're not righteousness, but wisdom. And so spiritual disciplines don't earn merit, but they do help us to just be with Jesus and to put us in a position to receive what God longs to give us when we are just with him and enjoying him and hearing his voice and communing in relationship with him. It's through practicing that helps us foster a desire to love him if it's not already there. And it's about freeing ourselves from the distractions that hinder our relationship with Jesus, which ultimately, right, requires discipline to identify those distractions and then the ability to be ruthless in eliminating those things in order to get rid of those distractions so that we might have uninterrupted time with Jesus, even if it's only short. Right now, I'm sure some of you are probably thinking, whether you're here or online, well, I've got kids, I've got a raft of other things and pressures that are pressuring in on my time. And I know, especially if you have young children, it can be incredibly hard to just get space, 2 minutes, let alone 10 minutes of quiet to be able to have time with God. But really, this is where making space and time for Jesus is so important. So maybe that means for you that the best thing you can do is try to get up a little bit earlier before they do, so you have 5 minutes of silence and prayer as you meditate on the verse of the day from the Bible app or from your reading or from Lectio 365. Maybe it means that instead of the start of the day, at the end of the day, you pause and you seek to read a chapter of scripture while you're sitting in bed directly before you say goodnight. And you do that instead of scrolling screens. Right now, I know that we do this because I am very guilty of scrolling screens. Right, and it can be a pretty scary thing if you think, I don't have time to do this, to check how much. Our phones nowadays even tell us how much time we spend on them. Right, and it even breaks it down into how much we spend on each app and so on. And so we need to say no to these things in order to say yes to Jesus, right? It's about identifying what is unfruitful in your life, removing it, and then making space for him so that he takes first place, so that he takes priority And so that we foster a deep love for him, so that we actually do love him with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength. You know, I've started the Bible reading plan for reading through the Bible in a year. We've got a bunch of them out in the foyer. And I would love for you, if this is not too big a challenge, to grab that, and I'd love to do that with you. However, we've got a bunch of other options there. But as I've started this, I've started reading Exodus, right? And it has been awesome. Like, I haven't read Exodus for a couple of years, and it has been amazing just to dive into this Old Testament narrative. And in Exodus 33 and 34, what happens is the Israelites have left Egypt, right? And they are in the desert. God's passed on to them the law at this point, and Moses has set up a tent of meeting, which was literally a tent which was set up outside of the camp of Israel, away from everyone and away from everything, away from all the distractions. And what he would do is he would leave the nation of Israel and the camp that they'd set up. He'd go out to this tent of meeting to meet with God, right? Hence its awesome name, the tent of meeting, right? And he would go out there to hear from him, and to speak with him, and to be led by him, so that as he came back to the nation of Israel, he would be able to lead them as God has led him. Right? And as a result of this, when he came out from his time with God, his face would literally radiate. It would shine. Like so much that it shone to all of those around him. Like, talk about a face makeover, right? Who needs a facial when you can just spend time with Jesus? We should put that on a mug and we could sell it, right? I'm not into that sort of thing, but hey, how cool would that be, right? Who needs that? We can just spend time with Jesus. He's going to make your face shine. But what would happen is he would do this, spend time with him, put a veil over his face, and then he would continue to lead the people. But then over time, the radiance and the brightness would fade. And so he would go back to the tent of meeting, spend time with him, and his face would just light up once again because he's been with him. And so we, like Moses, need to be pulling aside to be spending time with God, so that we shine with his life and with his radiance, because we cannot give to others what we do not possess. Okay, we cannot give to others what we do not possess. And so we cannot, as God's people, give love and life and the enjoyment of Jesus and the hope that we have that he brings because Jesus has risen from the dead. We can't give that to other people, even in the midst of a pandemic, if we are not experiencing that for ourselves. And so again, how will you posture yourself for spiritual transformation in 2022? How will you posture yourself to foster a deeper love and desire to know Jesus this year than you had last year, so that he might do such a deep and profound work in you, so that wherever you go, whatever you do, you will be shining and radiating the love of Jesus that comes through knowing him and through walking with him. How is God leading you and speaking to you in this moment to posture and position yourself this year to be changed by him? What's he asking you to do? You know, if we are going to grow in Jesus, which is really what the Christian life is all about, it's about being transformed in Jesus and seeing those who don't know him come to know him and then be changed by him, then we need to feed on God's word. We need to talk with him in prayer. We need to build relationship with him. That's a two-way street. It's basic relationship. And I get that this looks very different for everyone, depending on whether or not this has been a habit that you've already developed or not. And so for some, it may be that you say, I'm going to seek to do the Lectio 365 app and listen to that for 10 minutes every day. And you can either do it morning or night or both. And then seek as to build that as a habit and spend time. But I would encourage you, when you do it, set aside other distractions. Right? If it's on your phone, turn off notifications so halfway through it you don't get a beep beep. Okay? Be seeking to put the time aside and put away other distractions. Maybe for some of you it is, again, the 5x5x5 and reading the New Testament through this year. Or maybe it's just continuing that on from last year because you only got a part way through with it. That's completely fine. Looks different for all of us because there's no one size fits all. But what it does require is intentionality. To have a plan and actually say, this is what I'm going to do. And this is when I'm going to do it. And this is what I'm going to be reading and seeking. Because otherwise, right, there are a gazillion other things that will push in and draw you away. And we have an enemy who hates us when we, hates us anyway, but especially hates it when we make time for Jesus and want to hear from him and pray to him and depend on him. And so he will seek to distract us with 1,000 other things. And so making time to do this. And so today I urge you, if you're joining us online, you can go to our website and you can click on resources, and we have all the yearly Bible reading resources online that you can find and download or access. Otherwise, if you're here, we've got a bunch printed out that you can grab. But I encourage you to grab one of these and to commit to it this year in order to posture yourself to grow. And remember, it is about relationship with Jesus, not just getting through the reading plan. It's about relationship with Jesus, not just the reading plan. And as you do this, would you then also consider praying about someone else that you can do this with? You know, I would love to see people getting together in God's Word, chewing it over, talking about it with him and with one another, so that together we might be transformed by him as we position ourselves to grow with him. And you might just simply connect with someone over the phone. But that is my prayer. And so if you're keen to do that with someone else and you don't know who you could do it with, then please get in touch with myself or with Aaron, and we would love to connect you with someone else so that you can read and pray with them throughout this year as we see God work. You know, as we finish, I want to look at Psalm 119. I've talked a bunch, but I just want to read through Psalm 119 together. And really what I want to do is just look at essentially what I would do in just 5 or so minutes as I read this passage together, as I read and as I digest this scripture. And so let's just read this, and then I'm going to make a few notes. Whoops, just lost it. But this is what it says. And then just before we close, I want to do something else with you. It says, teach me, Lord. Father God, just firstly speak to us right now as we digest this passage very briefly. Just highlight a word, a phrase, a sentence, something for each and every one of us who is listening. Whether they're at home, whether they're here, speak to us through your word. We know it is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. And so draw us close to yourself, I pray, in Jesus' name. It says, teach me, Lord, the way of your decrees, that I may follow it to the end. Give me understanding so that I may keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. Turn my heart towards your statutes and not towards selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from selfish things, from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. Fulfill your promise to your servants so that you may be feared. take away the disgrace I dread. For your laws are good. How I long for your precepts. In your righteousness, preserve my life. Now, immediately, I would usually ask myself the question, well, what do I see? And I don't know about you, but immediately as I read this, I see the first three verses and it says, teach me, give me, direct me. It says, teach me, Lord. So he's obviously talking to the Lord. This is just like a conversation he's having with God. It's like a prayer, essentially, saying, teach me, Lord, the way of your decrees. Give me understanding so that I may keep your law. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. So they're praying this through specifically so that they would walk in the way of God's decrees, have understanding to keep the law, and then direct them as they walk in the path of his commands. So this is all decrees, law, commands, statutes. And then it continues on. It's all about the word of God. It's just different ways to describe it. And then it actually continues on in going there. But it says, follow so that there's a reason, so that, Lord, I want you to do this so that I may follow it to the end, so that I may obey it with all my heart, so that there I might find delight in you and in your word, in your law. And it's beautiful because as it goes on, I see the next couple of verses say something else. It says, turn my heart towards your statutes. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. And as I think about that, I get the image. I'm going to try and draw it here, right? Get the image of me facing this way. But then suddenly, and I'm facing selfish gain, it says, selfish gain, or worthless things. Worthless things. This is how bad my writing is, right? And so it says, turn my heart away from selfish gain, from worthless things. And so literally, I'm praying, Lord, turn my heart the other direction towards you, away from worthless things. And so instead, preserve my life. You know, and what's beautiful about this and so many of your Bibles is you'll have these little things after different words, little letters, R, B, T, and so on. And basically, they are cross-references which show you in the Bible where that same word is used elsewhere. And so if you're not used to doing that, I would encourage you to check that out, have a look, and then go to that verse. So it says, give me understanding, right? And so Proverbs 2 verse 6 says, for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Reminds me again of James chapter 1. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God who gives generously to all without finding fault. So if we lack wisdom, if we lack understanding, we should go to God because ultimately knowledge and understanding come from him. And so God guides us in this. He wants to guide us in this and give us understanding. It says, and he wants to turn our heart towards him. And so, again, turn our heart. The cross-reference is Joshua 24, verse 23, that says, throw away the foreign gods. Literally, throw away distractions. Throw away other stuff we worship that are among you. And instead, it says, yield your hearts to the Lord. And so again and again, as we dive into God's word, he speaks life to us and he draws us close and he says, listen, turn your heart towards me and seek me. And we could go on and on and on, but hopefully you get the point. What I would do is just ask questions of this text and try and sit in it long enough so that I might really hear what God is trying to say to me. And then say, Lord, give me strength and ability to walk in this today. And so I would encourage you as you make space and room for God this year to prioritize time with him in his word What I want us to do, and what I would love for you to do, is as you think about that question, how is God moving you to posture and position yourself this year to grow and be transformed in Him, is to share that with someone else. And if you're online, you might type that online right now and say, hey, this is how I want to grow with Jesus this year. This is what that might look like. And if you're here, then you might share that with someone else after the service or through this week, or call that person and say, hey, God's been challenging me to do this. Would you do this with me, or would you at least pray for me as I seek to engage more with Him and be changed by Him? And so what I want us to do right now is just to pray this prayer together as a church community. Psalm 119, verse 33 to 40. And so let's pray this together right now as the band comes and we close. It says, teach me, Lord, the way of your decrees, that I may follow it to the end. Give me understanding so that I may keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. Turn my heart towards your statutes and not towards selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. Fulfill your promise to your servant so that you may be feared. Take away the disgrace I dread, for your laws are good. How I long for your precepts. In your righteousness, preserve my life. Amen.